do before we started was to dedicate a couple of minutes to our, well, I know you're aware of the tragedy of our Marines and other soldiers in foreign lands fighting for freedom. I want to dedicate a moment of silence for them, for their families, who will no longer have them to come back. And they are away fighting for us, dying for us. Let's take a moment just to say thank you and have the Lord bless those families. Thank you. I want to wish Mikey and Alan a joyous time away. They're up in Terrell, Texas, Mikey's hometown, celebrating some homecoming or something like that. You know, I think that's something that all of us should endeavor to do, is take a walk back every now and again to reminisce about some of the times we had when we were younger and carefree, and to visit old friends, to just take a, because we can sometimes get so wound up in the cares of the world and the many adventures of the world that we become involved in, that we lose sight and lose touch of those things that are really important. And the most important things there really are is our relationship with God, our relationships with one another, and the memories we carry with us. The memories of when times were different, the memories when we were younger, the memories when we did those things that we thought we could rule the world. It's good to reminisce about those kinds of things. But we're in the process now as this COVID is dissipating a bit, that we start working toward rebuilding Christ Church, rebuilding the body. Because as we look through the pews, we see many people, many of our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, fellow members here at Broadway who are not here. And we need to prepare ourselves for their return and to do everything we can to bring them back, to bring them back into the fold. And so and what that means is communicating with them and those kinds of things. But we need to prepare ourselves for it. So that's my lesson for today, is preparing ourselves for the homecoming for all of the people who are not here. The importance of a positive attitude will probably be the first order of business, is developing or creating a positive attitude within the body of Christ. Having a positive attitude. There's no other person on earth that should have a more positive attitude than a child of God, because we have within us the opportunity to worship the living God. We have within us an opportunity to take our cares to places who do not have Christ in their life, cannot do that. And it's such a privilege, and it is such an honor for us that sometimes we take it for granted. And nothing should be taken for granted, because when you take something for granted, it can be taken from you. First order of business for us to prepare ourselves, and this is in preparation for us as a body, to prepare ourselves to bring others back in and to reach out. Reach out in the community and bring people into the congregation here. And a good place to start with a positive attitude. Believe me, if we do not have a positive attitude amongst ourselves, we could not bring anyone anywhere near Christ. Because what people will do is look at us and say, if this is the result of being a Christian, to be this evil, this mean, this non-caring, I don't want any parts of it. All of us are ambassadors for Christ. When people see us and we walk around with the label of Christian, there's a certain amount of demeanor that's expected, a certain amount of courtesy that's expected, a certain amount of love and care that's expected. And when people don't see that, it becomes a negative remark against the church and against Christ himself. So the first place we start is with a positive attitude. Having a positive attitude regardless to what happens. Having a positive attitude in all circumstances. Well, Larry, how on earth do you do that? Well, today we're going to start looking at that as a process. A good start towards spiritual growth is achieved when we, first of all, 2 Peter 3:18 says, accept the challenge to obey God's command to grow. To grow. God commands us to grow as a body of believers. We are to believe we are capable of growing with God's help. Philippians 4:13. We grow with God's help. A lot of times people within the church attempt to do things on their own, of their own volition, without incorporating God into the process. And it is essential. We must believe we're capable of growing. We must set both behavioral and functional goals as described in scriptures. And I'll go through a few of those. Because this is about us preparing ourselves to go out into the community, to get on the telephone, to contact those who are not here, and to bring them back in, because it is our responsibility. Striving to develop Christ-like behavior should be a hallmark of all Christians. Striving to create and promote Christ-like behavior. And the best way we can do that is to model it. If we don't model Christ-like behavior, you can't tell someone else to become a part of Christ's church. There's hypocrisy there, and people see it. Speaking to determine and develop our functions in the body of Christ is one of the things we wanted to do, and to strengthen ourselves to make things better than we were before. And we were a wonderful, productive congregation before COVID. Well, let's just build back better. And that's what this lesson is about. How do we do that? How do we rebuild ourselves and overbuild ourselves? We want to create good habits, slowly but surely, help us reach these goals that we want to outline. Habits that change our behavior so that we model better what it is to be a Christian. Many times we pay lip service to being a Christian and not act the part. And that carries a message to those we try to influence. Habits that change our behavior. But we read 1 Peter 2:2 and Philippians 4:6-7. We find behavior patterns that model the Christian behavior. For spiritual growth to continue, it requires maintaining a positive attitude. Well, Larry, how can I maintain a positive attitude when I don't feel positive? Your feelings has nothing to do with your attitude. You control your attitude. You control your feelings. Well, Larry, when I'm upset, I'm upset. Then control yourself and model positive behavior. Go against the grain. Believing that all our efforts will be worthwhile is what we want to do in developing the congregation back again. Encouraging us to persevere through difficult times. We want to persevere through difficult times because difficult times will come. Difficult times will always come. They will always be present. But it's how we confront those difficulties marks us as children of God. Are those who profess to be children of God. And there is a difference between those who act as children of God and those who profess to be children of God. And we want to make sure we're in the second column, who are and act as children of God. Paul certainly had a positive attitude, and that's what we want to develop, positive attitude. But why is a positive attitude important to spiritual growth? As a congregation or as an individual. Without it, we fall short of becoming what it is Christ has in mind for us. Without a positive attitude, we fall short. We can't help it because there's interference in the positive nature of the Lord guiding us when we have a negative attitude, because negativity brings about the decrease in positive spiritual interventions. We need to have a can-do attitude about rebuilding, a can-do attitude about bringing others into the body of Christ. We can do that. We must do that. We're charged with doing that. It is our responsibility to do that. Through Holy Writ, it is our responsibility to do that. To visit the sick, it is our responsibility to do that. To do those things, to call on those who are not here and may be lonely, it is our responsibility to contact those people. We want to live in the present with an eye toward the future. Now, how do we do that? We want to live in the present, not in the past. Remember, one of the things about the past, it's gone. There's a revelation for you. The past is gone. There's absolutely nothing you can do about the past other than manage the manifestations of the past. Manage it to the point where it becomes positive for you as a motivator for you to move forward. And with the help of the Lord, you can do that in terms of your spiritual growth and your human growth. See, sometimes we become adults physically and mentally, but emotionally we remain children. And many times, not the obedient children, the spoiled children, in it for me and no one else. But as a Christian, our most important thoughts are, what would please Christ? How can we model Christ's behavior? What can we do that would model Christ? And when we use Christ as our model and read and study Christ and his proclivities, when we do that, what happens is it sharpens us as Christians. And that's what we want to do, sharpen ourselves as Christians so that we become magnets. Magnets to draw others to Christ. And we can only do that by being children of God, appealing to others to become part of Christ's church. We want to live in the present with an eye toward the future. This is what Paul did, reaching forward to the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:12-14 tells us. It was the future glory that enabled him to endure the present trials. See, what Paul did was focused on the future of what was to be as to what was happening with him and his efforts within the church. He focused on what was to be. See, Paul was a dreamer. He was a dreamer who believed in the promises of God. We have to develop that same attitude as a dreamer, to dream in the presence of God, to dream in the Word of God. And I don't mean some fantasy dream, to see it as reality and have it come true through effort, through application, by applying ourselves to Scripture, by doing those things that are necessary for us to grow as individuals and thereby growing as a body of believers. This mature attitude, Philippians 3:15, is about what helped Paul to maintain a positive attitude even in the most difficult of times. One of the things I wanted to share with you today, too, is about this positive attitude. We have every reason to have a positive attitude about our spiritual growth. Every reason. God is ready to help us grow. God stands ready to help us grow. It is just a matter of us taking the first step. Taking the step. And even before we take the step, it's a matter of shrinking our own ego or think we know it all or have the answer already. When we shrink our own ego and bring Christ into our lives as the one and only person with the answer that would benefit our lives, then we become more pliable and able to be built into the Christians we really seek to be. God is ready to help us grow. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says he provided tools to help us grow. What were the tools? He gave us his word. He gave us an order of prayer. He gave us you, a body of believers, a congregation, a body of believers who congregate or come together to worship him, to replenish ourselves, so that when we go out into the world, we're ready to do God's bidding, to do God's work. Christ also designed the church to provide an environment conducive to growth, Ephesians 4 and 16. The church is a vehicle for growth, but we must apply ourselves, and we can, because we're equipped to do that. Our labors will not be in vain, nor go unnoticed. Our labors will not be in vain, nor will they be go unnoticed. The work we do with our neighbors, the work we do with our family, the work we do, and sometimes people say, well, Larry, I'm just not that outspoken. I don't know how to approach anybody. You know, the way that I would suggest anyone does that is become personal with someone. In casual conversation, you don't have to break out the Bible. You don't have to go scripture by scripture. Develop a rapport. Developing a rapport allows you then to get into more theoretical attributes of bringing them to a part of Christ. But developing a personal relationship. And that's what we want to do, is develop a personal relationship, because you never know the influence you may have on someone. You may never know the help, the lifeline you may throw to someone, merely by being the person that approaches them, not in a professorial way or not in a preachy way or anything, just as a friend or an offer of friendship. Or more than anything else, just to listen. One of the things that happens a lot of times with us as Christians, we want to talk all the time. Most of the times, it's been my practice that the most effective evangelists are those who spend about 30% of their time talking and about 70% of their time listening, asking pointed questions, delving questions and being there as someone to talk to. See, one of the things to be a great recruiter for Christ is you don't need to know scripture by scripture. You don't need to know all there is in scripture. Knowing as much as you can in scripture is a great aid and help. But we have to be personable. We have to be able to be open and receptive and listen to people. Probably the most important thing for us sometimes is just to shut our mouths. Just be quiet and listen. And not instruct people. Not be to the point where we're trying to browbeat anyone. See, Christ didn't browbeat you. He offered you an opportunity. He offered you an opportunity and showed you the way. And you step forward. Then if Christ didn't do that for you or for me, why would we presume to do that for someone else? Ours is to be open and receptive. Ours is to be open and Christ-like, which means in order to be Christ-like, we must study Christ, which means we must spend time upon time in Scripture, reading the words of Christ, reading God's word, reading the communities through scripture, and understanding how the mistakes they made so we don't do the same thing. And that's why the Bible is a perfect book because it also shows flaws in human nature. And when we see those flaws, we say, I don't want to do that. It's a teaching vehicle that sometimes we lay aside when in actuality we need to pick it up continuously. Because when you pick it up continuously and read it with no intent, I guarantee you something will come to you from that you can use in your life to make your life better, to make your life more wholesome, and to make you a more productive member of Christ Church. So what we want to do is to embark upon that, and the choice is it. The challenge we face is not to allow our positive attitude to be destroyed. Sometimes when we try to talk to someone and they reject us, our first thought is we take it personally. I tried to tell her what to do and then she wouldn't listen. That was the problem. I tried to tell her. Listen. Listen more than you talk. When you listen and ask probative questions, listen with compassion. Listen with an ear toward understanding. Listen with your heart, not your ears. When you listen with your heart, the message comes through that you can well understand and distinguish and be able to help someone along the way who then can help someone else. Our labors will not be in vain, nor will they go unnoticed. Even when we fail, God gives forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. The challenge we face is to not allow our positive attitude to be destroyed. Well, I've been talking to her for 2 weeks and she still hadn't come to church. I'm not going to talk to her anymore. What a defeatist attitude. Remember, we are merely messengers. We're not the Lord himself. We're merely messengers. We bring the message, but we do so with compassion. We do so with understanding. We do so with love. And should a person decide against it, then that's that person's choice. But let's not take it personally. Sometimes we chalk it up like, you know, how dare this person not accept my invitation to come pray with me? How dare this person? Well, see, that's an inappropriate attitude, and it's wrong. And what it does is chases people away from the church. Choice is ours. We can choose to be positive through faith in God, through patience. Choose to be positive through any opportunity we have to share God's word with others, to share what God has done for us in our lives. When we share our own stories, it shows the fallibilities, and what it shows is we're human, and we don't think of ourselves as saintly. That we are beyond human frailties, to share our own frailties, and to show how we've recovered and moved beyond it. And someone, maybe not the person you're talking to at the time, but someone just may say, if it happened for her, if it happened for him, it may happen for me. Lesson done, taught, and God's work done. We can live in the present instead of the past. Some of us walk around with a 25-pound gorilla on our back. Something that happened to us in the past, we just can't let it go. Even he wants to get off our back, but we won't let go. It becomes so comfortable to us. Well, I was hurt once. I'm never going to be hurt again because I'm never going to love again. Well, who does that hurt? Who does that hurt? It's you. And what we need to do is to move on. Move on and turn it over to the Lord. Turn those hurts over to the Lord and not try to even the score. Turn it over to the Lord and live our lives as he has dictated in Holy Writ. We can live in the past, in the present, instead of the past. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. whether the gods of your fathers that served were the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's a decision each and every one of us has the capacity and has the duty to make. It's you and your house in many instances is you. You embody your house. Because sometimes people misinterpret that scripture to mean if everybody in my house is not active in the church, I failed. No, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Which means you'll make every effort, but if it doesn't work out, we won't abandon the church. Too many times people try to bring people to the church and they don't respond. And when they don't respond, we just give up. There goes two down. When one could have been saved by saying, well, I've done all I can do, Lord, I'm turning it over to you. And do that. Turn it over to the Lord. Hopefully, we will develop a game plan to bring the members that are not here today back as soon as possible, to reach out into the community to fill these pews, because it is our responsibility to fill it. It is our charge to fill these pews, to bring God's people in God's house, to teach God's people God's word. That is our charge. And we will live up to that charge. We will do that. And want to make sure that everybody understands that God has a scorecard too. Just like we score the blessings he's given us, he scores ours too when we've been disobedient. And sometimes we need something to bring us back into compliance. And nobody can wake you up like the good Lord. To let you know you're going down the wrong path. You're thinking too much that you have all the answers. So on that happy note, what I'll do is close it up, but remember, if you're having any difficulties with this COVID situation or anything along those lines, we're still available for counseling, personal, one-on-one, group counseling. We're still available for that. So give us a call. We'll be there for you to do whatever is necessary, but you also have a responsibility to go out, talk to the people you talk to most in your life, talk to strangers, let them know that you're a soldier for the Lord.